Welcome to episode 19 of the Dunk Dynasty podcast. The lads, we are on deck giving you some more NBA content, keeping you up to date as to what's happening, the inner happenings of the NBA. Here we are today, myself, Panashe Nishanu, here with Jed the Terminator Mitchell, as well as Trigger Trey Trayvon Mitchell is also here. What is going on, fellas?
Same shit, different day, eh? Another day in paradise.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be as inspirational as Trey just then. Yeah, same.
Crazy, nice Trey. You actually got a new laptop now, don't you, man? It's nice to actually hear you properly, right?
Oh, it's not new. It's been refurbished. They replaced the whole screen though, so that's good.
You want to give a special shout out to whoever repaired it? What was the company's name, man?
No, it took a while.
Oh damn. 1 out of 5 star service, eh?
We are giving you a free sponsorship.
Wow. Yeah, if you want to sponsor one of our segments, you know, return shit on time, first of all, and give us some money and we'll more than oblige. We'll be more than happy to be obliged, you know? Yeah. But lots of stuff going on in the NBA. Another week. Same week. Or no, different week. Same shit or different shit, whatever you want to say. Fresh updates, Dunk Dynasty updates, lots of good stuff happening. Sabonis makes history. Longest active double-double streak in league history. We also have some sad news. Brandon Ingram against the Orlando Magic. Womp, womp. Looks like it's a little bit of a bone contusion, was they said. So he's going to be out maybe a couple of weeks. Might not see the end of the regular season. Might be back come playoff time. Happy man over there, Ethan McDonald. He's actually not on, but Westbrook returned for the Clippers. So very happy for the Clippers getting Westbrook back, and very happy for Westbrook. He's back for the end of the season. And again, the Rockets keep winning. Big test coming up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Hopefully they can keep rocketing to the top. And then, of course, NCAA tournament has been going on. Into the Elite Eight, Sweet 16 and Elite Eight this weekend. So all the fans keep an eye out on that. And then also, New Zealanders, make sure you tune into the New Zealand NBL that starts tonight. First game, I believe, is the Wellington Saints versus Nelson Giants, maybe. Hopefully, I think I got that right. But yeah, make sure you tune in if you're from New Zealand. Make sure you watch the NBL. And shout out to the Southland Sharks, Jeremy Kendall, no other player.
What? You're talking about the wrong NBL, mate. What about the other NBL playoffs?
Oh, no, bro, no one cares about that. This is NZ, man. This is for the NZ fans. Yeah. Hey, if you want to watch the NBL Championship Series, you can watch that too, man.
That's what you were talking about. You went from talking NCAA to the New Zealand NBL League.
Covering all aspects of the globe of basketball, man.
Are you going to shout out any Lithuanian high school teams while you're at it?
Yeah, shout out Zhwafic Konvonia. Great high school in Lithuania over there. So shout out to them. You know, if they're tuning in, shout out to them. But yeah, some massive news in the NBA. The first one, Michael Porter Jr., the Porter family. Some massive news over there. Some massive gambling news. Placing illegal bets. Jonte Porter has been caught out, man. Betting on the unders. Always bet the over, as I always say. There's two rules in life. Bet black and bet the over. He bet the under. And look what happens when you bet the under. You get in trouble. What's your thoughts, guys? It's been a long time since anyone got done for gambling and betting. Here we are, the Porter family.
Yeah. You've got to kick it off with, say, allegedly, but the tape doesn't tell a good story, does it? I reckon the NBA is absolutely going to throw the book at this guy. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a lifetime ban, which I think is fair enough. Like, there's, like, so many things wrong with this. He shouldn't have bets made for him because, you know, he's a bum. No one should be betting on him again because he's a bum. And then, like, taking the unders on yourself, I feel like the NBA should give him a lifetime ban just for betting the unders on himself. Like, it is atrocious. Like, yeah, I reckon ban him for life. What do you guys say?
The game's a game, mate.
What does that mean?
The game's a game. For me. He's playing the game.
He's played the game of life. The game of life, and he lost. So... yeah.
Bro's about to have a lot, bro. It's lifetime ban incoming. Him and Tim Donaghy are going to be shaking hands on the way to hell. You know, it's a tough one there, without a doubt. I feel lifetime ban. There is no way. They're gonna, that's the thing, they always wait for the first person to slip up and then they throw the book at them heavily. Because NBA especially, I think, is different to NFL. NFL, you had Calvin Ridley, who got done for the gambling scandal. And then he got, I think it was a year, maybe 2 years. I think a year, actually, yeah. So his one wasn't as bad. I think it was like eight games that he had bet on, and then, but he got a four-year suspension. This guy, Jonte Porter, I think the NBA holds themselves to a different standard, and I think they're going to go heavy at him and just go lifetime for sure, I think.
Also, I think, am I correct in saying that the NFL one, Calvin Ridley, was he bet on games that he wasn't playing in?
Yeah, he was injured at the time. Yep.
Yeah, this is worse. When you're betting on yourself and you're betting on your unders, like when you bet on the unders, you have 100% influence because you can just choose not to take those shots.
Mm.
Like you can, like what did he do? He fouled out. And then the other game, he either didn't play because of illness or he left the game early because of illness.
Left early,
like
it was. Yeah.
Like, yeah, the evidence doesn't reflect kindly on this man. The only thing I'll say is the only reason why I would imagine that the NBA might not give him a lifetime ban is you want to set an example and you want to just make sure no one ever does this again. But if a star player, a young star in the NBA, someone similar to like a Ja Morant, obviously not Ja Morant because I've thrown the book at him enough times, but if someone like that does it, and then everyone expects that person to get a life ban similar, the NBA might be a bit conflicted on that one because, like, you can't just ban a star player for life, I think. So that's the only reason why I don't think they'd give a lifetime ban, but I reckon they should. I reckon it's just, it's stupid on just so many levels. How dumb can you be? The guy's on a two-way contract, for God's sake. Like, he's lucky to even be in the NBA. And, like, whether he gets a one-year, two-year, or a lifetime ban, I think his NBA career is well and truly done. I don't think you'll see him suiting up again, rightfully so. If I'm sitting in the locker room beside this guy and this guy's taking the unders on himself, I'm not going to play hard for that guy. I don't want to pass him the ball. I wouldn't want to go out there and battle and try win a championship with this guy. I just wouldn't have any faith in him. I reckon it's just absolutely outrageous. And you've just painted yourself as a villain in the NBA. And yeah, we all know the book's going to be thrown at him. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they go for the you know, the finisher, put this man in a coffin.
The RKO, the tombstone, the last, bro. It's, how dare you disrespect the Porter name? Michael Porter Jr. has come out here the last couple of years, been balling out, been doing this thing. They even had the jersey swap on the court, I think a week or two ago, and it all looked wholesome, all looked amazing. Then literally a week later, this all comes out. So Jonte Porter, I mean, this is a tough situation. I probably do agree a little bit to what you said as to, yeah, if they give him a lifetime, then it does set the precedent going forward that even if it is a star, even if it is a mid-level guy, six man, good, whatever, you'll get the lifetime. So it gets a little bit tricky there. But the thing is, I think it's completely different to Calvin Ridley in the NFL. Calvin Ridley was not playing. So his betting on that didn't actually, he can't influence that. He's just betting on like what we all do, other people do. We just watch it, bet on it, that's it. Whereas if you're physically in the game and you can control what happens, especially if it's unders, if it's, for some reason, for me personally, if it's over, I don't mind overs, but unders means that you are directly trying to sabotage. You can sabotage your team and also by doing what you're doing. 7.5 points is what his line was set at for the points. I think it was 3.5 rebounds. Brother, you can't just come in the game for like 13 minutes, get a couple rebounds and go, oh, you know what? I'm sick today. If you're sick, legit, cool. But if you're doing that for betting purposes to try sabotage your team, make money for your friends, come on, man.
And multiple games as well. Like, and you, yeah, I will say that the overs is still not a perfect scenario if someone's betting the overs on themselves, because like, say you take the overs on Jonte Porter's points. You don't really want him shooting more than 2 to 3 times a game. If Jonte Porter's getting 5 shots in a game to get those points, that's to the detriment of your team. Him actually shooting the ball is a detriment to your team. But like, yeah, I will say taking the unders is just definitely significantly worse. Yeah. But yeah, taking the overs still can have negative repercussions.
I don't know about this, Jonte. I mean, yeah, for sure, I don't think there's any way, buddy, you're not going to see an NBA court ever again. So hopefully you and the brothers made some good coin off this. I think the ruling, well, surely there's no, you can't take the money back as long as you cash it out. But they probably, DraftKings probably did let people cash it out. Pretty rough to see. I mean, Great moment on the court. I think the Porter family all were enjoying themselves. Michael Porter and Jonte taking that picture on the court, especially seeing where Michael Porter came from after that, you know, first year where the back injuries and everything. We didn't think he was going to get an opportunity to be what he is now. So I think that was such a wholesome moment. I think it's just been overshadowed. And I think essentially, overshadowed by this now coming out. So it's rough to see. Even for the Raptors as well, as a team, you know, things aren't going so well, and then you've got this to pile on top of that. So it'll be interesting. I'm very interested to see whether or not there's anything going forward as well that comes out about any other players too.
I think they'll take their time with it as well. I can't imagine he's going to be put back in any rotation before this is kind of ironed out. Yeah. One thing I will say, it's kind of like the Porter family, all the kids, when they were born, they were all put in the gulag. Because Michael Porter Jr. is the only one who's made it out. Two of the sisters medically retired, and Jonte Porter, his career's over, finished as a two-way contract at best, and yeah, Michael Porter Jr. is the gulag winner. He lives to see another day.
Oh, what a guy. And bro, if they do him like they did, UFC fans will know what happened to James Krause with his betting scandal. If the feds get involved, if the FBI gets involved, good luck, buddy. Yeah, what's the FBI?
It is to that extent, because it is the integrity of the game.
Exactly. So FBI comes and steps in, and that's a whole different ball game. Brother, it's a sad sight to see. But yeah, moving on to more positive things. Probably even worse things that we've been seeing over the last couple of days: meltdowns from some of the serious teams contenders. Celtics blew a 30-point lead yesterday against the Atlanta Hawks. Then you've got today the Bucks blow a 19-point lead against the Lakers. And then the Clippers play the Hawks, who are on a back-to-back. They get molly whopped on. And you're just looking at these teams with these meltdowns and these bad losses. Out of these three teams, you know, over the last couple of days, which one of them, you know, which one of their meltdowns kind of worries you the most going forward looking at them?
Ooh, to be fair, we're kind of at that point in the season where I don't think you read too much into all these, but I just think the cracks are really starting to show for the Celtics. It's really concerning. That team should never blow a 30-point lead. Like, if that team's got a 30-point lead, it should be signed, sealed, and delivered. It should be like taking the unders on Jonte Porter. It's a guaranteed, you know, it's almost like the game's rigged from there on out. But, I'm just shocked that they could lose that game. And to lose it in the way they did, with a miracle kind of, you know, miracle shot from DeAndre Hunter, was it? It's just absolutely outrageous and kind of disappointing for the fans as well. This franchise has had so many good players over the years, and to see them kind of crumble, not that it's on the big stage or in the playoffs, but to see them crumble again like that, kind of, you know, lets those doubts creep in. And I think it gives everyone who's playing against them in the playoffs confidence that this team's not impenetrable, that there is ways to beat them.
Damn, you got nothing for us, Trey? You got nothing for us over there? Well, if I'm looking at it, it's the two teams that worry me. I think about the Bucks. I mean, they all worry me, actually. But if I'm going level for level, the Clippers, for me, easily number one. Because I watched the Hawks game, and I'm just the entire time so puzzled about this team. And I think Tyronn Lue put it best when he came out and said it. Their identity is that they're soft. They were just... The thing with the Clippers, I just don't understand. Offensively and defensively, there's two things. Defensively, the switching. Over-switching. So much switching. And Pascal Siakam said, oh, we're on the back-to-back. So you guys want to switch? You guys really want to try switch on me? They switch every single action they put Pascal in. The Clippers were switching. Kawhi Leonard tried to guard him on a switch. Couldn't do nothing. Norman Powell on a switch. Couldn't do nothing. Westbrook, nothing. Paul George, nothing. PJ Tucker, nothing. And they just went mouse in the house. He went mouse in the house. If you guys want to put small man on me and switch, we'll keep going to work. Put you in the post. Yo, bro, he was cooking them. Had 31 points. After having 36 the night before against the Lakers. And I'm thinking, I'm going, you guys literally are just playing right into the hand. At some point in time, if you're switching and getting punished for it every time, at some point you have to make a decision. Well, you have to make a change. And the thing is with Tyronn Lue, he's so in this thing, which he's a great coach, right? they're just in that mode defensively where they go, we'll switch everything. But sometimes I feel like you can't. If you're getting punished for it, you can't. We're talking about last episode, Insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Siakam went to the post 6 straight times, bro, and made a play off it. Scored 4 times, got an assist, and a hockey assist. We need to change something there. Then offensively, what team in the NBA isolates the most? The Los Angeles Clippers. Think about it. You've got Luka, you've got the Celtics. The number one team in isolation is the Clippers. It's just too much isolation. You're down by 19 points. Can we, you know, try get into some team aspect basketball? It was throw the ball to PG, PG try go ISO. Throw the ball to Kawhi, Kawhi try go ISO. Throw the ball to Harden, try go ISO. It's those are two glaring things that I think. I thought, obviously, it's Westbrook's first game back. Maybe the changes will come in these last 10 games now that he's going to come back. Obviously, more playmaking. But that concerns me, both ends of the court, that they really do worry me.
Yeah, and it's at the end of the day, adaptability is one of the main things that you need going into the postseason. Like, this year, more than any other year in the West, it is all going to be about matchups and how you match up against other teams. And if one thing isn't working, you need to try something else, because there is going to be matchups for the Clippers that just aren't favorable for them at all. And one thing that you're going to notice going into the first round of the playoffs, they don't have home court advantage as it sits right now, and they'll be playing one of the most informed teams in the NBA, which is the New Orleans Pelicans. So they really need to prepare for that, and they really need to try different things, because if they don't try, they don't make adjustments. That two-man game with with Zubacs and Harden just isn't firing like it was early in the season when they were going well. Like, if they aren't able to find offense outside of isolation, it's going to be a really long series for them. Because, like, the Pelicans especially, with Zion at point guard, they're looking really, really tidy. They're able to push the pace. He was a little bit sloppy with some of his passes today, but they roared back into that game like 3 or 4 times. I'd be pretty scared. I don't know if you guys have watched much of the Pelicans lately, but Trey Murphy, he's looking like, it's almost like as the games go by, he's just getting better and better as the season goes on, and he's just such a lethal shooter that, you know, he could be a key factor for them in the playoffs. And they've got so many guys. Like, you forget that they've got Valanciunas, you forget that they've got Larry Nance, you don't forget that they've got CJ McCollum. But outside of Brandon Ingram and Zion Williams, they're a deep team. They've got a lot of players who have been around for a while, a lot of players who can make really good plays. And yeah, with Zion and that kind of point guard role, this team's kind of moving quite well.
Make sure to shout out Jose Alvarado, Herb Jones.
Oh, yeah, Alvarado, yeah.
Defensively, that team, they're a very good team defensively. And that's the thing, like, they've got the ability to, with Trey Murphy and Herb Jones, if you go back and you watch the Pelicans versus Heat game on the weekend just gone for us, the way that they were able to just contain Jimmy Butler, I think Jimmy Butler still had, obviously he gets points, but they made it difficult for him. The length of that Trey Murphy, he's so lanky and just long. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for you to, him and Herb Jones are just a dynamic duo defensively where they're just in those passing lanes. And if you're a team that can't shoot against the Pelicans, good night, because they have so much length that they can block off the passing lanes for you, make it difficult for you, make you have to beat them one-on-one. And going one-on-one against Herb Jones, he's a clamper, low-key. Actually, not even low-key, high-key. But if I go back to who we're speaking about, the Clippers, if they played the first round.
I was just gonna say, the thing about the Clippers is they bore you so much that you get excited by the prospect of a subject change. So forgive us.
Yeah. If the Clippers go that way, if they go the ISO route against the Pelicans, that's a tough route to go, because you've got the guys that can play good defense, especially if you've got Ingram come back. That means you've got Ingram, you've got Trey Murphy, you've got Herb Jones going up against Kawhi, PG, and James Harden. So you've got the length defensively to hang with them. It's just going to come down to can you get stuff offensively outside of, you know, Zion. They move the ball really well as well, which is why I like when you have Zion, especially when he's playing as the point forward. He's able to attack, get in the lane. And when he gets in the lane, defenses have to collapse. So it's going to come down to, can Herb Jones hit shots? Because I know Trey Murphy can hit them. I know Ingram can hit them. I know McCollum can hit them. But they're not going to let those guys hit them. If the ball goes to Herb Jones, they are going to let him shoot. If he can hit that ball, yes, they can beat him. But for the Clippers, defensively, please, can we try something different? We don't have to switch everything. don't have to, and then offensively, we don't have, you don't always have to ISO. And I think they've just had so much success with playing isolation basketball. But sometimes that's, you know, you need to, let's run a couple of plays. Let's do something, get into the flow of our different things. It's like the Celtics as well. When things get into, they just get a little bit difficult. They revert to ISO ball compared to when they had Udoka. It was still, let's go through our systems and try get points off our systems. We don't have to revert to just ISO ball. And yeah, that's my thing with the Clippers. I think the Clippers, out of those three teams, Celtics, Clippers, and Bucks, I think that's the team I've got the most worry about the meltdowns.
Alvarado will give Harden so much trouble, I think, too. Just like, he's a pest, eh? He's a, you know, 100% every play. He's gonna pull his little pickpocket, I guess. What do you do when he hides behind the coach or whatever and runs?
The Mario, Mario Huertas? Do you remember him?
The
Lakers guy who actually hid behind the coach?
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon you'll get Harden a couple of times if they match up in the playoffs or whatever. And just, yeah, their defense is unreal. Pelicans are definitely the biggest underdog going into the playoffs, for sure.
In the first round, I'd still probably take the Clippers against, because I just think, yeah, Toronto's good enough of a coach and they've got good enough players to do it. But it would be very difficult series, especially. And plus, the one thing I'll give them a pass for is that Westbrook did just come back. And I think Westbrook's playmaking is going to make a massive difference. I think his first game back after, what, a month or 6 weeks to 8 weeks yesterday, had 7 assists. So the playmaking will come. It's just, can they just make it more consistent? Don't have to revert to ISO and hero ball. And defensively, please, guys, sometimes we don't have to switch, you know?
The thing about Westbrook as well is it's a lot about tempo and like energy that he brings to the game. He kind of ups the pace and kind of really bridges the gap between that starter unit and the second unit. And I think that's something that's been really missing.
Yeah.
Also, the Bucks, they may have had a meltdown today, but their defense, like compared to where they were when they fired Adrian Griffin. It's like they're two completely different teams. It's like a lot more similar to the Bucks of old. They absolutely clamped they defended the Thunder out of the game on 2 days ago. So like, yeah, they're a high and low team, but I think they're trending up. So I'm not as concerned about that for them.
The Boston Millie Rockers though. What, Missoula? What's up, bud? Like, do you want to have any more of a stacked team? And do you want to always falter with any more of a stacked team? Fourth quarter, brother, how? Like, how? You need to tell me this. I'm just looking at the Celtics team. Why are you running ISOs? Like, guys, I know, what is the obsession with ISOs? Top five team, actually, for the season in ISOs. And in that fourth quarter, what was it? 11 out of the 22 shots was taken by Jason Tatum. 16 out of the 22 shots were taken by Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Makes sense. Those are the guys you paid the big money. But again, I feel like it's system sometimes. We don't have to go so much ISO, bro. Oh, my Lord. Like,
there you go. That summed it up for me.
It's just...
Bro's not him. He is not the face of the league.
He did go 5 for 11, but it's still under 50% in the fourth quarter.
You could like Jokic, if similar situation or whatever, if he got the ball every position or whatever, he would make a play. He wouldn't just force shots or whatever like they do with the isolation, step back threes and all that crap that they do, post up shots. A lot of it's unnecessary. They just need to, you know, find a good shot.
I think if Jason Tatum realized that he was 6'9 and weighs 230, 240 pounds, he would have so much more success. Because why are you shooting so many threes? Drive to the basket, bro. Like, you see guys like LeBron, you see like Steph Curry even, when they have the opportunity, you don't always have to revert to a jump shot. Go get yourself to the basket, beat your guy. Jason Tatum, you're 6'9". I doubt anyone can stay in front of you. I really do. I don't think there's anyone, maybe Andrew Wiggins in the 2022 NBA Finals, but no one other than that can stay in front of you. Get to the basket, get yourself a layup, get yourself a dunk. Yam it on someone, bro. Like,
yeah, take it back to rookie Jason Tatum. That's kind of where he peaked with that dunk on LeBron.
Yeah, man, bump into someone, bro. Like, come on, you have DeAndre Hunter, with all due respect, guarding you, the guy with the worst work in the league, according to whoever it was that put it out. Bro, I know you can take him one-on-one. Take him to the basket. Like, yam it on him. We know you can do that. Instead of playing the mid-range post, do a step, tough contested step back, or three-point line step back. It's crazy to me, man.
Oh, but he hits those shots in warm-ups. So I see NBA posted all the time.
Yeah, but then Ben Simmons hits all his shots in his workouts. So how much can we really read into those videos?
Yeah, Ben Simmons, the off-season merchant. We're joined actually, by the guy who's a part-timer now, man.
The prodigal son returns.
Hey, I had a bit of university, man. You know, I just had to get on top of that before. I'm sorry to let you guys down. You know, I'll be better in the future. I tell you right now, I'm letting you guys down like the Clippers are letting everyone else down. That's what I'm doing.
I mean, the Clippers aren't letting anyone else down. Listen, when you have low expectation, you'll never be disappointed. You have high expectation. Mm-hmm. That's why you're always disappointed about the Clippers, man.
Ethan has such high expectation. He took the overs on Jonte Porter.
Oh, yeah. No, facts. Yeah. What a great man that guy is. You know, he's leading the NBA in a money made at the moment. Great man.
Is Paul George still your MVP?
To be fair, I want Paul George to sign with somebody else next year. I'm glad he's not re-signed yet. Jeepers, honestly, he's useless. What, Brandon Miller came out today and said, like, oh, Paul George is like, all the young players should look up to Paul George and what he does as an NBA player. So, okay, cool. He's got a great skill set. He can shoot the ball. He can dribble. He can, you know, all of that type of stuff. Dunk on people. He can defend. Lovely. Cool. What does that do for winning? What has he done for winning? He's done nothing for winning. And this year, he's doing nothing for winning as well. Like, Jed, I haven't finished. I want Paul George to just, his amazing skill set to just transfer to winning. Why can't it do that? Jed, you could talk now.
I was just going to say, to be fair, if Paul George's career was restarted and he ended up in the right systems at the right time, he could have been one of the absolute all-time greats with the skill set and the kind of build he has as a player. I do see why a lot of young players do admire his game so much, but it's just not really the way it's panned out for Paul George, and it's going to be the sad tale of PG. He's going to be one of the forgotten heroes.
His career went in reverse. Guys usually start off where they do, like, they don't do so well in the playoffs or do so well in the regular season. They're inconsistent. Then they make the conference finals. Paul George did the opposite. He started off by playing really good in the regular season and then made it to a conference finals. People thought that these guys, like the Pacers, were better than the big three Heat. But that's how good Paul George was on that team, at leading that team. Yet now, you get to this point in time now, 11 years later, you'd think, okay, he's got all the things. He's going to be consistent. No, it's not the case. It's not Paul George. Paul, where are you? You had me fearing that you're going to beat LeBron in the playoffs. Now you've got me fearing nothing.
To be fair.
No, it's been downhill ever since he said he should be the one taking the last shot in the game.
To be fair, it's been downhill ever since he snapped his leg in half.
He was still good after that. He had great season after that.
He's still been really good after that, but he hasn't. Like, that's when the playoff side of things happened. And I don't think that's because of the injury. I think that's just because of the circumstances and how things have played out. But that's what I mean. Paul George, in the right system in the right years, would have been, like, could have been one of the top players of a generation.
Remember Paul George, 18, 19 PG, man. MVP, top three.
Paul George is, like, going to go down in 10 years time, you're still going to know who he is. 20 years time, you're still going to know who he is. He's still going to be one of the people that people refer to as like one of the greats with the skill set that he had. He just never had the, like, it's like Tracy McGrady, just never got injured all the time, just never could get there. Paul George is going to be the same. Amazing skill set, amazing player, could just never get there. This year's his only year to do it, yet the Clippers just suck ass.
Tracy McGrady's just a tall Cam Thomas. Nothing you say can convince me otherwise. If you had to sum up Tracy McGrady's career in one sentence, it's let me say it in the playoffs, because you just left wondering every single year.
Oh, is exactly. it Panache right there? Is it Panache?
Bro, I'm putting inspiration to the kids. The next generation is getting influenced by me. Let us see it in the playoffs, bro. That is.
I feel like you should get that put on a t-shirt. I reckon. I reckon you'd sell out.
Let us see it in the playoffs.
Dunk Dynasty Pod merch.
Hey, that's going to be the first bit of merch that comes out. Let's see it in the playoffs.
It'd sell out like Paul George in the playoffs, you know.
And Julius Randle. Don't forget about Julius Randle.
Oh, Julius Randle, bro. Don't get me started on Julio Randle over there, bro. Oh, my Lord. Robbing New York. Worse than the mayor of New York is robbing.
It'd sell out like Jason Tatum in a big game.
Looking at the East play-in, the race for the sixth seed to stay safe away from the play-in. Pacers, Heat, and Sixers, I think it's very clear it's going to come down to those three teams. Who do you think avoids the play-in and gets that sixth seed? A date with a destiny against possibly the Cavs or the Magic or the Knicks. It's, no one knows who can get the third seed. No one knows who can get the sixth seed. But focusing on that sixth seed, who do you think is going to get it?
I personally, given that it's a direct question to all of us, I believe it will be the Miami Heat to claim the sixth seed. I think the Pacers, a little bit off the pace, play on words, and Halliburton hasn't been the same since All-Star, since he got injured. Siakam, you're solid, but I think they need Halliburton to come back into his own a little bit to be able to keep winning those games and keep putting pressure on the top. So I think Pacers will drop to seventh. I think Heat will finish sixth, and I think Philly will finish in eighth spot, as Tyrese Maxey is the only player that plays in that team because Tobias Harris is a bum.
I'm much the same as Ethan, apart from I probably back the Pacers a little bit more. I feel like they're probably a bit more built to be consistent now that they've got Siakam, and now that, although I don't agree with it as much, they've traded away Buddy Hield. But I bet, back the Pacers to slot into that sixth point. Love to see if Halliburton can re-bring that back, that in-season tournament flair in the playoffs. It'll be quite cool to see. But, so I got sixth Pacers, seventh Miami, and then in the eighth spot, I've got the 76ers, who I'm not too high on until they get Joel Embiid back.
Not him award goes to the Pacers, bro. And Tyrese Halliburton, not him, bro. Tell you guys. Try to tell you early in the season, bro.
I don't reckon you bring up the not him until next year if he can't back it up. I feel like he had a breakout, and then next year's where I would love to see him cement it. But like, he's had injury issues and all of that. And there's been trades and stuff. So I don't think you can put as much.
Nah, people keep falling back onto the injuries way too much. If you're that injured, how come you're dancing around happy go lucky in the All-Star game? He didn't look so injured to me. Like
I don't think a fall off can be that like black and white.
Nah, but you can't. No. I don't mind people saying that if he's other stuff, like, he's just playing bad, he's in the slump. Like he said, he's in the worst slump of his entire life. But the people who say, I'm not saying you say it, but I'm saying there's plenty of people who keep on falling back and saying, it's the injury. If you're so injured, why were you dancing around in the All-Star game? Like, you didn't look so injured then, so you can't use that excuse now.
That is a fair take. But yeah, as I was saying, I wouldn't start throwing the heavy, heavy shade until next season. If he hasn't come back and he hasn't reached that same level that he got to earlier on the year, if you don't see it next season where he's had an off season with this new lineup, where he's kind of had time to work on his troubles, where he's had playoff series to more develop, mature as a player and all that kind of stuff, that's when I'm holding against him. I'm probably not holding against him now because there is a few things that have gone into it. And like, I would agree with you. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's all injury, but I feel like whether it's a slump combined with the new roster the way it is, post trades, then that's kind of where I think should take it a little bit easier on it.
Halliburton's meant to be the guy, the next All-Star, one of the best guards in the East, all of these types of things, wouldn't you think that he'd be able to carry a team a little bit more than what he has?
Yeah, but then you go throw Pascal Siakam, who's been and done it with the Raptors, and you bring him into the team, as the experienced guy, and then you kind of, there's this like power shift and dynamic change. And I heard Tyrese talk about like Siakam coming into the team, and that he does play the way he wants a star to play alongside him, and it is beneficial to their, each of their games, because they're complementary to each other. But I do think that that bringing in someone like Siakam can really change the dynamic of the team. And when it's been Halliburton's team all season long, and he's kind of had this breakout, and then you've kind of brought this guy and it's brought him down to earth, I feel like maybe the bringing back down to earth part's been a little bit too much of an adjustment for him.
What does that have to do with his shooting? His shooting has been absolutely terrible lately, and that's nothing to do with a groin or Pascal Siakam being on the team.
But it could be rhythm. It could be rhythm. Like he's, yeah, I don't know.
It's been going for a while.
It's not like he's developed a hitch or something, and it's not like his shooting isn't legit. Like he is a really good shooter. I wouldn't.
No, you're just putting it down to the injury and stuff, and Pascal Siakam.
I'm saying he's probably just had it. He's come back down to earth a little harder than he was expecting, and that's why I'm saying, given an off season, I would expect him to come out and be close to that level where he reached early on, pre All Star break, with the team next year, having being a bit more familiar with the roster, being a lot more healthy, and just having some time to, you know, kind of grow back into things. That's why I'm not holding it against him. He's young as fuck. This is his first season breaking out. Like, it's like, you're not going to hold this against Tyrese Maxey's career because he hasn't really performed well as we'd hoped without Joel Embiid. Because it's his first year being the guy.
But there's a difference, though, because there's a difference in that. Because Tyrese Maxey wasn't meant to do what he's doing this year, whereas Tyrese Halliburton was. And Tyrese Halliburton showed it last year that he has got the ability to do what he can do. Wasn't supposed to
leapfrog into the argument of one of the best guards in the NBA. Like, he's still a tier
below. No, but it was recognized last year, and you can, and like, that he was going to be the guy for the Blazers. And he was going to be one of the, he's going to be one of the best. Tyrese Maxey never had that.
I'm going to start shouting now. All I'm saying is that it is like his first year reaching that level. The difference is, I'm not going to hold it against him as much as you'd hold it against a Sabonis or a Julius Randle, because those have been consistent trends year after year. We've seen no development. We've seen development from Tyrese Halliburton, and because he's regressed a little bit, you guys are like holding against him like this is the new player that he's always going to be. I'm just saying I'm going to give him an opportunity to come back and be the guy that he was. And if he doesn't change his game, or his shot doesn't come back, that's when you hold against him like you do with a Randle or a Sabonis. I'm saying now's not the time to do that. And like, this will be their first time in the playoffs with him in that kind of role. Well, the first time in his career really being in that kind of role with an NBA team in the playoffs. So I'd like to see how that goes as well. That's all I'm saying. I agree with you guys that he's in a slump and that he's not been his best. But I'm just saying I'm not going to hold it against him right now, because it's not like a trend.
Get yourself a Yappuccino, my bro. Holy.
Also, it was like you come out and said that he hasn't developed a hitch or anything. It's like, have you seen his shot? That fella got like, needs to put some CRC on those hinges, bro.
Bro, let us see it in the playoffs. Honestly, in the
crusty
playoffs.
Shot.
Here you go. Yeah, inspiring the next generation. Let me see in the playoffs. I wouldn't even speak about the Pacers. They'll probably they'll get the seventh seed. The Miami Ice will probably get to the sixth seed. Some way, somehow, Spoelstra will find a way. But that sets you up for... Yeah, I don't think the Sixers will get there. No chance. The Sixers are probably the worst team I've ever seen in NBA history without Joel Embiid. They absolutely suck. And then you've got, so Pacers versus Heat for that. Miami got the experience. They'll probably get it. I'm not going to, waste time with the Sixers. Pathetic. You guys all shat on Joel Embiid earlier this season. Yeah, look at those bums now, eh? Absolute Hall of Fame scrubs without Joel Embiid. Tyrese Maxey, thought he was supposed to be a playmaker. What are you doing, bro? You're making me not want to watch 76ers games. So you probably are a playmaker. So, yeah, that's it. Give it to the Miami Heat. Miami Heat first round series, probably against, you'd probably say right now, the Knicks, because the Cavs are free falling and the Magic, I don't trust them to hold on just long enough to. So, yeah, Miami probably ends up playing them and then could make the second round. We shall see. But looking at some of the major offseason trades that we had in the NBA, looking at the teams that did make those trades, which one do you think made a deal that, or who do you think actually had the most valuable deal? Who do you think who do you think traded for the player that's made the biggest difference to their team?
Right. Gentlemen. Now, the team that made the best trade, I think, would have to be the Bucks. You know, best for the best player available, Damian Lillard. But then you also have to look at the Celtics. And I know I don't like the Celtics very much. I don't like Tatum, all of that type of thing. But to be able to work that Holiday trade, sensational. And then be able to work that Porzingis trade, sensational trades. To add, arguably, you know, players defensively in Holiday for a point guard, and then Porzingis probably could be up there defensively as well if he applied himself a little bit more. But and then you got Tatum and Brown, you know, no left hands or anything like that. But good players, solid players to build around. You've got Horford off the bench. You've got Derek White, who's coming to this, you know, who even, where did that guy come from? You've got Peyton Pritchard. Solid players to build to have around those. I think the Celtics have to take the what do you call it, the pie or something, or just sensational ability. Take the cake for that, for those trades. I just, you know, you got the Lillard trade is sensational, but those two trades for, yeah, and they just turned it into a sensational good team.
Give me Boston as well. Give me Boston. It's a combination, like Ethan. It's the combination of getting Paul Zingas and Drew Holiday. I think Brad Stevens, without a doubt, will be GM, whatever he is, executive of the year, easily. Two deals that have transformed that team fully. The only problem is that they just have the wrong coach. If they had Udoka, they probably would have won a championship last year. Probably would have been going for back-to-back this year. Oh, wow. No one's disagreeing. I love that. But yeah, those two trades.
It's because one of them's eating.
But yeah. I think those trades made a massive difference. I think, yeah, if I had to say, since we only have to pick one, which one is the bigger one, I'd say it's getting Drew Holiday. Because I think defensively and offensively, first of all, I think defensively, him and Marcus Smart are probably on that same level defensively. But I think where the difference is that offensively, Drew Holiday is a much better decision maker with the ball. He's not going to take... Well, actually, he does take some careless shots sometimes. I'm like, please don't take that shot.
All
like
the
against
time. All of his shots are careless.
I think it's against the Nuggets. He took a shot from behind the backboard three, somehow made it. I was like, please don't ever shoot that again when I'm betting on the Celtics. And they lost. So don't ever do that again in your life, Drew Holiday. But anyway...
he carried them in the stretch. Where was Jason Tatum?
Yeah, where was the W? Nowhere to be seen. But with Drew Holiday, I think, yeah, much better offensive decision maker. He fits into that team, I think, nicely, pairs up, gels well with the rest of the team, slotted in. And if they can get a championship, then that trade looks even better for him. Drew Holiday will be a two-time NBA champion.
One trade which I'm surprised didn't get mentioned just now, James Harden. I feel like, although the Clippers have been...
No, it wasn't like 2 weeks into the league, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, he's right. He's right.
That's why it wasn't mentioned.
I'll shut my...
That's why it wasn't mentioned. Yeah,
I'll shut my sweet little lips, Ethan.
Yeah, you actually tried to cover Ethan today. Yeah, Ethan, I'm on your side, bro. Don't worry. I'm on your side on this one. Yeah, it's off-season. Not in-season. Who do you think you are, man?
I think it was in-season, wasn't it?
It was in-season, yeah.
We're talking about off-season.
Second week. Yeah. No, not second week, wasn't it?
Oh my god!
Oh,
great. We're talking about the off-season trades.
Oh,
yeah.
Off-season trades, right? Okay. Biggest trade of the year so far.
One of the other biggest impact trades, then I'll say, would be the Jordan Poole trade, because at least now the Wizards are going to have a top pick in the role player draft.
Hey, yeah. Jordan Poole, I think he will be good next year. He's actually starting to play decent. No,
the bench.
He's actually been playing pretty decent lately. And
could you imagine being the Wizards and trading for a starting point guard that you think you're going to build your future around, and then just sticking him on the bench, and then he starts playing well?
Can you imagine being a Clippers fan and never getting anywhere in life?
Ethan doesn't have to imagine it. He lives
it. You support the worst big market team in NBA history.
I would say the Chicago Bulls are much worse.
Hold on a second. I've
won six. How many trips have the Bulls won?
Where's the last time the Bulls made the conference finals?
What the Wizards have done.
You don't doesn't matter.
They literally made it to 21. But you know,
where's your comeback to what the Wizards have done? You can't even.
Come bro, on. You support a team that gets fucking 50 wins every 5 years and disappears into the Clippers.
Well, the Clippers have been in the playoffs way more times than the Wizards had the last 20 years.
Well, so when did you guys win a chip? When did you guys win a chip?
Oh, when's the last time the Wizards won a chip?
50 years ago.
1978.
Oh,
but...
yeah, oh, 50 years ago.
26 years ago.
Jesus. What do you mean?
Okay. Oh, also, chip, mate. You said
there wasn't a chip back then. There was just a little coin. Have that, mate. Here's my plumbers and my builders.
Hey, where's your chip? Where's your chip? We got a banner, you don't. Shut your mouth.
Oh, they actually do have a banner up at the stadium, bro. Pacific freaking division champions.
Oh, so good, bro. So good.
What's today, Pete?
Yeah.
Pete, you said something just before. You said the Wizards win 50 games every 5 years.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure you're supposed to, you missed the zero on the five. I don't think they've won 50 games in like 42 years.
At least the Clippers have some famous fans as well. They've got freaking Vince Staples. Shout out the Vince Staples show. Who do the Wizards have? Who do you guys? Who's your supporters? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Is that it? Where's the rest of them? I've never seen any celebrity sit on front row.
Boy, all the big players that go play for the Wizards.
Mia Khalifa's our biggest fan, mate.
Everyone describes the Wizards gets a big paycheck and then leaves, bro. They don't even want to play for them.
No one wants to stay in the.
Joe Will got
the paid
for 3 years of no basketball.
Okay, Ethan, I wouldn't talk too much. Your franchise only literally became, like, respectable in the last half decade.
Didn't you take on our bad contract?
With who? John Wall?
No, he got bought out, I think.
Yeah, we paid him $8 million a season. Sweet as. Not for 45. We're not playing.
I'm pretty sure it was actually the Rockets who paid him. They bought
How well are you guys doing right now?
Better than you.
Oh, we're in rebuild mode, mate. So.
You can't keep falling back and say rebuild. You guys weren't freaking trying to rebuild.
This is the first year of the freaking rebuild.
How long is the rebuild supposed to be then?
When you want a chip.
Oh, more than 1 year.
It's been longer than a year, bro. What you guys done? Got worse and worse.
What do you mean? We just got a new freaking GM.
When was the last time the Wizards made the playoffs?
2021.
Yeah, how about you guys quit life and go get some new freaking players and new GMs? Because that team is ass.
Sorry, I don't go out supporting the big market teams like you fucking.
Well, you should do, bro, because you wouldn't be in this position where you get roasted.
You shouldn't have to follow a big market team to be an NBA supporter, you know?
Well, why did you choose?
Anyone's going to support the small market teams?
Well, of all teams, why did you choose Washington? I actually want to know this. Why did you choose to be a Wizards fan?
Why not?
Yep, it's a great reason.
Hey, man, they were the fourth seed. They were the fourth seed the first year I started following them.
So he jumped on with the wagon.
They went downhill since you started supporting them. Is that what you're trying to say?
Mate, you've been a Clippers fan for about 2 years, mate. Shut your mouth.
Mate, the only thing that goes out of Washington quicker than the presidents is the players. No one wants to stay there. Tell you, they all want to leave.
Hey,
in and out.
Brad Beal didn't want to leave.
Huh?
Where is he now?
Beal didn't want to leave.
Where is he now?
Yeah, he's in Phoenix. A red flag.
Enjoy life. Not in freaking...
Yeah, because he was...
Winning games.
Mate, he got the bag to stay there.
He got the bag and then left.
He wanted to win a championship, but he ain't going to do that on the Suns.
Ain't going to do that on Wizards.
Definitely wasn't going to do it on the Wizards.
No shit.
Yeah, so he's closer to
I'm certainly not going to do it on the Clippers either.
Oh, we completely got away from what we're talking about, the offseason trades. You know what?
Basketball on those fucking Clippers.
Skip the trades.
At least
they're going to
make the playoffs.
And then what? Visit Cancun and watch the finals.
Let's get to another great question for the fellas. One I saw, I think it's the Buckets on. I think they got a podcast. I have to get the full name, but it's Buckets something. I'll try to shout you guys out properly. But had a pretty good question, which was, which team would be the best in the NBA right now if they added the franchise GOAT to the team? So some teams, for example, like the Denver Nuggets. They are the Denver Nuggets because I think the franchise GOAT is on the team right now. So if the franchise GOAT's already on there, you can't add someone else. That's the ruling I'm putting on there.
Celtics and Larry Bird.
Lakers.
What do you mean? The Celtics and Larry
Bird. Lakers, they'll go from the bloody pimp seed to the fucking seven seed.
They're getting the 30th best player of all time added to their team.
They could add either Kareem Will, Kobe, Magic.
And how many of those guys can shoot? It's got to be the Celtics and Bird, no?
Ooh. Yeah. I don't
know. Nah, I see. The Celtics is the addition that I'd be the least excited by. I feel like you add like either Kareem or Oscar Robertson to the Bucks. That's great. You add Shaq to the Magic.
Magic ain't doing nothing with Shaq. Get out of here.
Okay, I'm just.
Oh, LeBron and Miami.
KD.
LeBron is not the Heat franchise GOAT. Stop it.
KD on the Thunder.
KD is not the Thunder GOAT. Stop it now, right now. It's Westbrook.
Who is Westbrook? Okay. Prime Westbrook. I don't know if he fits as well, but
what about Portland and Dame?
What? That was real funny. Tell it again.
Portland adds Dame.
Yeah.
Make the playoffs.
That's CJ McCollum. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And then the Wizards get back Garrison Matthews.
Man, he's a good player.
Oh, the Clippers get Caron Butler.
The Clippers get Mo Harrell back.
The Lakers get Ramon Sessions back. That's going to be good. Yeah. And Rudy Gay and Kevin Love as well, so they get Gay Love Sessions.
To be fair, imagine
you've been thinking about that for far too long.
Oh my god, how was your day, Pete? Good day.
Do you reckon if so, like, not the best team in the NBA, but do you reckon there'd be a playoff team if the Detroit Pistons added Red Rocket? They were so quiet, I could hear the seagulls outside.
If the Pistons added Josh Smith, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, being serious,
I think the Dallas Mavericks. If the Dallas Mavericks added Nowitzki, I think they'd be my best team. I reckon. I think they'd overtake a lot of teams.
Bucks and Kareem, I reckon.
What about the Heat with LeBron James?
He's not the franchise GOAT.
I said it before. Apparently, he's not the franchise GOAT. Who is?
What do you mean? It's Dwayne Wade.
Oh, please. Shush your mouth.
Okay, spell Dwayne Wade.
No.
Dwayne Wade and his niece.
Spell Dwayne Wade. You won't.
What's that got to do with anything about him being the franchise guy?
Spell Dwayne.
What's it got to do with being the franchise guy?
You know, spell Dwayne.
What?
What's that got to do with being the franchise guy?
Everything. Spell Dwayne.
Anyway, it's... freaking clearly Dwayne Wade. It can't be LeBron. LeBron was there. He got two rings. D-Wade's got three rings. He got a finals MVP. He's got everything that LeBron, except for the MVPs with the Heat. But he's the franchise GOAT. He was there his whole career, basically.
How many MVPs has Dwayne Wade got? Don't mind.
Hey, shut up.
It's Dwayne Wade. It's not even... Come on, bro. It's not even close. There is no one who...
Can you spell Dwayne for me?
Why? Do you need to write down any little diary or something? What's going on?
Are you got an obsession with Dwayne Wade or something? What's up with you, man? It's clearly Dwayne Wade. It's not LeBron. LeBron Wade? Cannot be the GOAT.
I just want to know if you know how to spell Dwayne.
LeBron cannot be the GOAT of the Heat. Come on, bro.
Do you know how to spell Dwayne?
Why do you want to know Dwayne? Why? You want to put it into Pornhub and just be like, oh, let me have a whack off to Dwayne Wade or something? What's going on, Trey? Are you okay?
No, because his parents don't know how to spell, so I was wondering if he would know how to spell.
Oh my god, bro. This guy is just like... Oh my god. If anyone doesn't know how to spell, to you, buddy, you didn't finish school.
Man, it's crazy. Got my level 2, man. I was out.
But anyway, who's everyone's final answer for that one? Who's the guy that which franchise are you picking if they added the franchise goat, and who is your franchise goat for? Yeah, so I've got
probably
Mavs, Dirk Nowitzki.
I'd go the Bucks adding the Big O.
I would go Golden State adding Wilt Chamberlain.
That's not bad. I'd go Miami Heat and LeBron James.
This guy actually needs help. If anyone out there thinks that LeBron James is the Miami Heat GOAT, please go get yourself checked out mentally. I'm a LeBron James fan. LeBron over is the... not the Miami Heat GOAT. Are you okay in the head?
Did he not have a Hall of Fame career while he was playing for the Heat?
Did he win one less ring than D Wade did? Yes, he did.
I'm pretty sure LeBron's got 4 rings.
For the Heat, brother. But you go hard, man. You do you.
Nah, I actually think that Jimmy Butler is the best player the Heat's ever had.
That's actually a good point. I agree with that.
Yeah. Hold on. Ethan McDonald, what you got for us, man?
Hey, look, gents, you know, so I've got a couple of good questions here. They're going to be quite easy. The first four, the last one, you're not going to get. But I'm going to have lots of fun, you know, you guys trying to get it. Jed's going to jump on Google probably and Google the answers, but that's just his nature. Anyway. I want the top two of each question, and then if you can get closest to the number, then you get a bonus point. So what we do here? So the first question is going to be most dunks in a season, and I want the top two.
Who's answering? Is it
Rudy Gobert? Answers
or everybody? What? Everybody's answering. Just Rudy Gobert.
DeAndre Jordan.
I said that first.
No,
Trey is correct with Rudy Gobert. Who's the other one?
DeAndre Jordan.
Nerlens Noel.
Dwight Howard.
Okay, cool. So you P, unfortunately you don't get points. But here's how many dunks did Rudy Gobert get in this season?
124.
222.
400.
Who's closest?
400, bro. That's like 8 a game.
How many did you say?
That's 408 a game. Bro, chill out. Come on, bro. Chill out.
Yeah, for your mathematics. How many did you say, Trey?
222.
Trey's the closest. He had 306.
306 dunks is actually wild, bro.
Wait, how much? Oh, yeah. Trey was only just closer, by the way. And you guys
how many did Dwight Howard have?
Oh, 280.
275.
Oh, I mean 289, by the way. Fuck.
Grace closest again with 269.
How is there such a massive difference between that? Holy.
Right,
so
now we're going to do... So the next question here is number two. So it's most dunks in their career, and I want the top two.
Julius
Nah, not his own thing.
DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan's correct. He was number two.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard's correct with number one.
Wow.
Right, cool.
Said Dwight Howard.
I only heard Trey say it. Did you say it before DeAndre Jordan did you?
I swear I'm losing my mind. I said DeAndre Jordan.
We'll run the tape back and look at it, but you don't get a point for that. Anyway, so how many dunks did Dwight Howard have in his career?
2,100.
1,900.
1,902.
He's the closest. He had 2,910.
We're from the north. That way.
Hey, you missed it by about 900, so don't even talk. And then how many dunks did DeAndre Jordan have in his career?
Oh, that's easy. 2,100.
2,500.
2,680.
He's closest. He had 2,273.
J. Cole has a song about this, by the way. G-O-M-D. Get off my dick. Exactly.
Right, cool. So in this next question here, I only want the first person. I want the amount that he won. Okay, so who won the most dunk contests?
Nate Robinson. Three.
Four. Boom.
Nick Levine.
Boom. He's got it. Nailed it straight away. Straight away. You guys didn't even have an opportunity with that one. That's too fast. Okay, cool. So now we're going to go. This one will be a little bit tough. Most dunks in a game.
12.
And I want the player and the number.
12.
Oh.
Bye.
Oh.
Hashim Thabeet.
By DeAndre Jordan. By Blake Griffin.
No.
Shaq had 12 when he had 61, didn't he?
Okay. The name Shaq is correct. The number is wrong.
13. 14. 11. 14.
Correct.
14.
We all said numbers.
You're all incorrect.
I said 14.
You're 11. All incorrect.
15. Oh, 16.
11. 11 from Trey.
I see 11.
Okay, now who was number two?
DeAndre Jordan.
Rudy Gobert.
Giannis Antetokounmpo with 10.
Daniel Gafford had 10.
Nope.
He did. He had 10 the other day.
whatever. Different player. Come on.
Can't be Kareem, can it?
Dwight.
I'm alone.
Dwight. How many do you have?
10.
Must be 11 then.
Nine. Cool. Nine.
Nah, it's Dwight and he had 10.
Daniel Gafford had fucking 10, like, last week.
Okay. Oh, well, he but clearly no one... didn't, bro.
Yeah,
he clearly didn't.
Care about Daniel Gafford. Thank you. Okay, cool. Well, it wasn't in the answer book that I was looking at, so shut up.
Okay. Rudy Gobert had 10 in 2022, too.
Going into the fifth question here. Trey's on 6, P's on 4, Jed's on 4. So this question here is players that have been banned or suspended by the NBA for betting.
Oh.
Jonte
okay,
Porter?
Hold on a minute. So I've got 5 players, and I can give you information on all 5.
Michael
You're
Jordan.
Not going to get a single one of them, but it'll be interesting to see who can get the closest.
OJ Mayo.
Maybe.
OJ Mayo.
OJ Mayo was drugs.
OJ Mayo was drugs.
Tyreek Evans. I'm just going to keep putting them out.
Okay, he was drugs.
Seems to be.
Okay, so this player was the 3rd pick in the 1953 draft for the Pistons.
Oh,
Bruce Parker.
Ed Rocker.
Spent 5 years in jail. He's banned in 1954. For shaving points.
Oh, Kadarius Toney.
No.
Ethan, what the hell? any of these players realistic?
Okay. The two that you're most likely going to get, probably not, are both Hall of Famers.
Gilbert Arenas.
They were banned. One of them played for the Harlem Globetrotters and the Suns, the Lakers, and the Hawks. He was. Hall of Famer, obviously. And another one was another Hall of Famer.
Dennis Johnson.
James Worthy.
No.
Dennis Johnson.
Elgin Baylor.
Led the Pacers to 3 ABA titles. Jersey number retired by the Pacers. He was number 35.
Oh, definitely not Reggie Smith. Miller.
Oh, that Knight fella. Willie Knight or whatever his name is.
Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight.
No.
Romario Damarius Thomas.
Antonio McDice.
No.
Adrian Dantley.
No. He didn't play for the Pacers.
Roy Hibbert. David West. George Hill. Lard Stevenson.
Okay, I'll give you another clue. 1960s.
Oh, bro, fuck off. No one's answering this shit. No one's answering this shit. Come on now. Yeah, okay. We're done.
Okay. Ethan, this is trivia, not learning.
Well, you know what? The way that you guys whip knowledge out, you guys might have known, but you didn't because you guys are not smart enough.
That is a great call by Trey. This is trivia, not education.
This guy,
well,
man.
Now you know.
50s and 60s, bro. What?
Nah, I'm not even giving a compliment to that quiz, bro. I really am not. I'm not giving a compliment to that. It was a trivia. It wasn't a good one, but it was a trivia. You can take your points, Trey. You're on whatever you're on now. 4. I think you're on 4 now. Still not on 5 like me, but you try your best. You all try your best.
He's
but,
been in the sore and sore loser.
You guys are still chasing the peloton. You guys are still chasing the peloton leader, which is me. But you guys will be back some way somehow, and we'll all be back on when we turn 20 next episode. We come out with our 20th episode. So that should be fun. But thank you again for the support. We really do appreciate it. Wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. We appreciate the support. Go check us out on Sporkle. We've got all the quizzes and trivias that we're doing at the end of these podcasts on there. We're also on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. Go follow us. Keep up to date with what we're doing and when we're releasing episodes. Again, shout out the fans. We do it for the fans. We shall see you when we turn 20. Catch you on the next one.
Catch you guys.
Catch you later.
Yeah, remember Red Rocker.
Shout out Arizona Wildcats.